thank you for taking the time to listen to this life-changing message from the Ministry of Faith Bible Chapel. We hope this message will encourage you in all parts of your life. At the end of this message, you will hear more information on how to contact our church family, as well as directions for you to visit us for any of our worship services. Until then, join us for the service in progress.
I know probably just the very fact that we mentioned that this was a special service and kind of a words get out like an announcement is going to be made, that people's ears perk up a little bit and they're wondering what it is going to be. And I don't want that anticipation to hinder what needs to be said. So I'm going to tell you right from the very beginning. We have prayerfully sought, and with a lot of deliberation, a lot of discussion with a lot of people, we have decided that in 2016, we will remodel the bathrooms. I didn't know there'd be that much excitement about it. The guys so much, they didn't care. They said, give us a trough, and that's all we need. The girls were kind of wanting a little bit fancier than that, so we're going for it. All right. Don't hold me to that one. Okay. I want to share a verse with you. It should come up on the screen. It's a great verse of ours here. We've claimed somewhat ownership of it over the years. It's kind of a guiding light, directional scripture. It comes out of Isaiah chapter 54 and verses 2 and a little bit of 3. The situation is that the Lord is addressing a woman who is barren. She can't have children. But the word that comes back to her is a word of vision, is really what you could call it. Verse 2 says, enlarge the place of your tent. Let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. For you shall expand to the right hand and to the left. And your descendants will inherit the nations. It's a word of faith that's given to a woman who has struggled with barrenness, and anyone who has struggled with that, you understand exactly what it's like. There's a lot of waiting, patience, prayer, tears, crying, consultation, and everything else that goes with that, all the emotions that go with that. But God gives an encouraging word. I believe God always gives an encouraging word. It's not that he's far off, that he can't relate to what we're going through, and he does relate to what we're going through. He does comfort. He does encourage. He walks alongside of us. He lets us know that he's there. But I find that the Lord will always end with, okay, but it's going to be better. It's going to be better. You can trust me. And that's exactly what he is doing here and trusting him. Okay. So I'm going to share with you some things as we go on to 2016 and beyond. It's really a vision, goals, and then kind of a strategy of what it's going to take for us to go ahead. Cheryl and I have always, since we've been in this church, have been somewhat people of vision. We believe some great things. When God touched our lives, we knew it was is so obvious, so strong, that God couldn't do any less. But, I mean, I couldn't imagine being any better than my salvation. But I found that the walk itself was so much more than just the salvation. Salvation, the start. But the growth, the understanding of God, beginning to see how God, down through his history, has worked with mankind, as mankind has responded to him. And God's patience with mankind, year after year, decade after decade, millennial after millennial, God remained faithful. Even when others were not faithful, God was faithful. And he will always be that way because he is faithful to himself. not faithful based on circumstances that will come out or won't come out. He is faithful to himself. He cannot lie because he cannot lie to himself. He is truth. And so God has remained faithful down through the years. And as Cheryl and I grew up spiritually in this church and begin to explore the riches of God and been blessed to be part of this ministry and actively involved coming alongside people and see it grow, physically be part of it grow, giving financially to see it grow, working with my gifts, with other people's gifts, and together, those gifts flowing together, making it work, whether it be physical buildings, whether it be ministry to people, ministry to young people, whatever area it was, it just has been one of, I can't think of a better life that God could have given Cheryl and I as we went along. Here's where we married, here's where we had our children, and here's where we have our grandchildren, and here's where we have our great-grandchildren, and here's where we're going to have our great-great-grandchildren, and here's where we're going to have our great-great-great-grandchildren. So, it's a good place. It's a good place for that. But just as sincere as we have been to see the church expand and grow and benefit and see people come into the kingdom and see people turned around, marriages, children coming, families developed, and just as important as it was to see all of that happen, there came a time in our lives where we realized that we better look to the future. You know, when you're 30 and 40 years old, you don't. You're just not looking ahead. You're so involved and so excited and so impenetrable or whatever it might be. You feel like Superman. Nothing's going to happen to you, you know. And then all of a sudden you turn 55 and you can't see like you used to see. And you're complaining to God. God, what happened? Did I sin? Just life or something like that. But just as important it was to us to see the church grow and be involved in part of that, about 8 years ago, I'm picking a time because it could vary for a year or two off of that. But about that time ago, I began to realize, Cheryl began to realize that, you know, we got to look to the future. What's going to be 10 years from now? What's going to happen 15 years from now? Where will the church go? I have all the belief in the world that Jesus could come back at any moment. But in the meantime, occupy. So you got to occupy. You got to plan. Proverbs tells us that a person who doesn't plan is foolish. You know, it gives all the examples of people that plan so that at a time of adversity or at a time of drought, they are prepared for the plan that they had worked out is going to help them through it. So we began to think about it, and I knew there was a couple key things that I looked at, and I thought, Lord, I really am looking for someone that is a part of who we are. Really looking for someone who gets the heart of this ministry, the DNA, if you will, has an understanding, because there are a lot of moving pieces to this ministry. I don't know if you know that. There are a lot of moving pieces. We've been blessed to have our Israel ministry, which in and of itself is huge. And the impact has been a blessing, how God has used us both here, across this country, and around the world, and especially in the nation of Israel. Man, what a blessed heritage we have to be involved in Israel, which is such a part of God's plan. And missions around the world and helping where we can. Matter of fact, Cheryl and I are going to the mission field in March to Nancy and Ajay. We're holding a revival, and we're going to do the graduation. The two of us are going to do it there. We were there in the beginnings of it when Nancy was single, and now she's married. They have kids. The ministry's grown. So we're going back to be part of that. Just little things like that are such a blessing to us. But we realized it was time, so we began to look. And a little journey that I took, kind of behind the scenes, is I have some friends that are ministering in this country here. People, if I were to mention their name, immediately you would know them because they have national ministries. They become friends of mine over the years, and I contacted them. I said, listen, we're praying about any wisdom that you have, pass on to me what would be best in the future and how, what kind of steps should we make? Each and every one of them came back with one thing, aside from the practical things you could do. They came back with one thing. They said, you know, the person that's going to have to be the person that's going to be the leader in the future is going to have to be someone who has your heart. Not only has your heart, but has the pulse of the congregation, has the pulse of the vision. In other words, they were saying, it has to be someone that pretty much comes out of your house. Pretty much someone that comes out of the congregation. Not someone that you're going to find in 2 months because of a search committee. It's not going to be someone that you're going to view a whole bunch of people and you don't know much about them and you take a big chance. For this to continue to do what it's going to do, and with all that we have, the uniqueness of our worship, uniqueness of our Israel ministry, uniqueness of our body, that would be true. That resonated with me immediately. That's what I desired. So as we continue to pursue that, there were several things that we examined as we went along the way. And now, there are a couple parts to this announcement, and I got to be careful which parts are going to come first, because when several things came to light that we felt it was time now to share with the congregation, because this is your church, I went to the elders early on back during this process, and we began to pray together. And the elders prayed with me. We sought together. We talked about it. We diligently wanted to do it right, whatever's going to happen. So a couple of factors came together, and as a result of this move that we're going to make, initial move that we're going to make, there are two key people that have been with me. Everybody's a key person, but been working with me in leadership is Pastor Jeff Razor, who's been serving as the executive pastor, and then Pastor Jason King, who's come back, been serving teaching responsibilities. So as we begin to put that all together, the result is what we're going to say today. So I'm going to invite Pastor Jeff Razor. Gary is here. Would you welcome him as he comes to share?
Thank you, friend. Well, good morning, and I especially want to say hello to Carr Street as well, who's watching online, and so glad all of you are here. Let me set this up. You're anticipating some sort of announcement, and I am so excited about the bathrooms. I am telling you, I have been pounding the table for 4 years, and we finally pulled it off. No, all kidding aside, I want you to know that, let me share some backstory that leads us to this moment here. That I haven't shared in public, but I've shared with Pastor George over the years, the rest of the elders. I've been serving on the elder team these last 4 years. But about 15, 16 years ago, when I was a young man in my early 20s, my wife and I had been attending the church while we were dating in our teens and our early college years. But when we got married, we made Faith Bible Chapel our home church. And I was a young man who had loved the Lord since I was 8 years old, but I hadn't really fully understood the truth of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, and how He can speak purpose and potential into your lives. And so at that point in our church, we were meeting in the East Auditorium. It was called the Sanctuary. Then this building did not exist. And I remember as a young man in business, an entrepreneur, someone who I felt like God had called with purpose to the marketplace, God spoke something very clear to me. The Spirit of God just opened up my heart and said, I have a purpose for you for this church and for the future of this church. And I thought, wait a second, God, like, I've never heard you speak with that kind of clarity. But you did. And so I tucked that away. That's not one of the things you begin to, like broadcast to all sorts of people. You just say, God, if that was you, I'm going to be obedient to your voice. I'm going to take the steps it requires to have myself prepared for what your calling on my life is. But that set in motion a journey where I spent the next 10 years in the corporate world that ultimately led to Promise Keepers and then coming on staff here in 2006. And I served this church from a role as a strategic advisor to our executive team for about 5 years behind the scenes. You didn't see much of me in those days. But God began to speak a new thing, and he began to call me out. And through a life plan process, I began to hear and know that God, he literally wrote it on the wall, God, Jeff, it's time, 2010, it's time that you leave faith. And in obedience, I left. I resigned from my staff position. We were in good terms, myself, the church, Pastor George. But God had spoken a clear call, and I couldn't reconcile these two realities. Jeff, my voice is calling you here, but Jeff, 10, 12 years prior, I told you you have a purpose for the future of this church, and I could not reconcile that. But sometimes when you can't reconcile things in your life, you still have to trust the voice of God at work in your life. So I left. I began to consult. I began to travel. I began to work with senior pastors and churches throughout the nation. I began to work with entrepreneurs, visionaries, leaders of nonprofits. And God was blessing my efforts tremendously, allowing me to minister in the marketplace. And about a year after I left, Pastor George and I sat down to have a lunch for the first time in quite a long while. And in that moment, he began to share some things about where our church was at about 5 years ago. And as a member of this church, I identified with what he was sharing. It was a trying season in our church's history. We had just walked through a number of things that were challenging, and I could see in this man's eyes, this pastor who I loved, who was in many ways a spiritual father to me, I saw this desperation. I need your help. And it led to a series of conversations, at least a dozen over the next 3 weeks, ultimately to where the elders asked me to come back and help us reorient some things about our church culture, our future, those kind of things. And I gladly left everything behind to do that. Still obedient now to this call that had happened in my early 20s. God, you've brought me back in this most strange but miraculous way. You're going to use me for this future of this church. And so when I came back 4 years ago, I came back with the commitment, God, I'm going to give you everything I have, because every place I've ever worked, I gave myself to it as if I was going to work there for a lifetime. I believe that's God's call in our lives. That's our responsibility, not to be hirelings, but to be sons of the house, even if it's an employer that's not a church, that we are to give ourselves for the greater good of the best of the future of that place. And I began 3-4 years ago working with elders, Pastor George, and the leadership team to set in motion some things that I believe God was asking me to prepare our church for its future. And I have given myself these 4 years as if I was going to be here for a lifetime. But these last 4 months, as Pastor George alluded to, we all as elders began to discern some things. We began to discern some things about the future of our church that were good, that were noble, that were directly from God's Spirit to us as those men who are humbly in charge of stewarding this awesome body called Faith Bible Chapel. And he began to reveal some things, and I'm not going to share those. It's not my story to tell. Pastor George is going to be back up in just a couple minutes to share that. But as we pressed into God's vision for 2016 and beyond, it became apparent to myself. It became apparent to the elders. It became apparent to those of us praying into this that my journey on staff at Faith was coming to an end. And so as part of the excitement that we're getting to share with you today, I'm also sharing with you that today is my last day in the role of executive pastor here at Faith Bible Chapel. So for many of you, you're kind of going, oh, I didn't expect something like that this morning. But let me assure you of a couple things. God is good. God is doing amazing things. Yeah, you're welcome to clap for God. He deserves all glory. This has been my joy and privilege. And what God began to reveal was this. Back in August, if you guys remember, I spoke on the priority of worship. And I shared how when we worship God, it's a beautiful thing. And Pastor George spoke to that this morning. And I know at Carr Street, you guys are experiencing great things in worship as well. But when we worship God, we profess our passion, our voice toward Him. When we exalt Him in the heavens, it's not just a one-way street. It's not just a one-way conversation. That when we do that, when we express ourselves in worship, His voice responds back to us. And Hebrews tells us this. It tells us when His voice speaks, sometimes it thunders. Sometimes when His voice speaks back to us as we worship Him, it shakes things up. And Hebrews tells us this, that as the voice of the Lord shakes things up, He separates those that are certain and that do not remain, that can be shaken. He separates those things from our lives. So what remains is those things that cannot be shaken. And for so many of you who have walked into personal relationship with Jesus, you remember those days when His voice shook your life up and said, temptation no more. He shook those things that could be shaken so that His kingdom could be reminded and remain inside of you. And that's a challenging but beautiful thing as he shakes us with his voice. But sometimes what becomes harder is when God gives us something and he moves and his spirit moves through us powerfully in that new thing. And then we continue to worship him on our journey. And then we continue to say, God, you're good, you're noble, I exalt thee. And then he responds and he even shakes up those things that he gave that were good. And that's what he's been doing in my life these last 4 months. He's been saying, Jeff, this is what I had you doing these 4 years. And this isn't just my, I think I heard God. This has been confirmed by many months of prayer with the elders and Pastor George. I am submitted to these men as much as I am one of them. I'm submitted to these wonderful men who hear the voice of God, who cover our church with protection. But what God was saying was, Jeff, you've been here and I've been moving there. I said, yes, God, I want to be where you're at, only where you're at. And he said, well, Jeff, I'm over here now. And I said, God, no, I thought you were over here. And he says, no, I'm over there. And I saw it. I said, I thought there was here. And he goes, no, if you want to be with me, I'm over here, because where you're at you thought was here is now over there. Right? You've experienced this in your walk with Jesus, and it gets a little confusing. But what he says is, Jeff, I'm moving over here. And if you want to move in the calling I have on your life, I'm going to call you over here with me. I've got some amazing things for you. And so I want to assure you of a couple things. There's some great things we have yet to share, and I am behind them and the vision of this church with every fiber of my being. I've been in every discussion as part of this process, and I support everything we are celebrating today. You must know that. You must know that this has been a church where I met my wife. This has been a church where we got married by Pastor George and Wes Swanson at Arvada Covenant. This is a church where I got baptized. This is the church where I understood the Holy Spirit and was filled with the Holy Spirit for the first time. This is the church where God blessed us with two kids we were told we could never have. This is the church where I understood my calling as a pastor. This is a church where God has shaped me as a man. This is a church we call home and we love. And we are so excited for what God is doing in our church in this season, 2016 and beyond. And we're asking you to be excited in it as well. So you might be thinking, what is Jeff going to be doing? Where is Jeanette heading? Let me assure you, we're not only okay, we're thriving. What God is sending me back into is and this is, again, wisdom of the elders speaking into this. Jeff, you've given your life for these 4 years to help us reorient some things and prepare for what's coming today in the future. But Jeff, you're great in one organization, but the calling on your life, we believe, extends beyond one single organization, that God's going to use you in many businesses, nonprofits, churches, to unleash potential in those churches. You see, God put a calling on my life to take people who are stuck at places where they needed breakthrough, people and organizations, and then take the lid off and send them into their future. So God is sending me back out into the marketplace. I'll remain an elder in this church. This is, like I said, my home church. I'm going to be with the men stewarding this church through this transition. But he's calling me to pastor in the marketplace once again. And you've heard me say this before. The ministry doesn't just happen on a pulpit or in a church, but the ministry happens throughout culture, throughout the world, in the marketplace. The etymology of the word profession actually means, in which way do you profess your faith? In the old days, do you profess it as a blacksmith, as a cobbler, as a farmer? In these days, do you profess it as a plumber, as an electrician, as an accountant, as a leader, as a consultant? That's where I'm going to profess my faith, and God's going to call me to pastor in the marketplace. And so I simply want to say it's been a humble honor to serve alongside you, not only the first 5 years, but these last four. I've given nearly 10 years vocationally in my life to see this church succeed, and it has been a pure joy. And it is a pure joy. So thank you for the privilege of allowing us to do this. We love you. We are with you. We support what God's doing for his glory. Thank you.
Very good.
Well done, Jeff. Not just now, but well done, period. We mentioned several times our elders and their involvement in this. We've had more meetings over the last 4 months than we did in 4 years, I think, because we saw it as an important matter that needed to be bathed with prayer, a lot of counsel, a lot of back and forth, and a lot of steps to take. And so I'd like to introduce, and I have them all set up here, our elders and our wives that are up here, and my wife Cheryl's over there. Would you guys just stand up a moment? Not just stand up and sit down. Turn around. Let our people see the elders. These faithful men have stood with me for many, many, many years. Have seen us go through a lot of changes that would happen in our life. Now, one of the things that we were determined, one of the words that we were determined, let's not use this word because it just seems to freak people out. Change. And all the way up until Thursday morning before we met with the staff, we were determined not to do that. And I was in my car behind the prayer chapel. I was just taking some additional time to really pray and make sure I had all my thoughts together. And that thing changed, jumped in my head again. But it jumped in my head for this reason, that change, that it's an important part of life. That if you try to avoid change just by not using it, and if you really try to avoid change as it is activated and used in your life, you're going to miss out on a whole lot of life. I mean, I know what I'm talking about. This Christmas season, you know the kind of cards that you get at Christmas time. Get a lot of cards, and more recently over the last years, you usually get a picture, and the picture could either have the whole family on it, just the grandchildren on it, just the siblings on it, whatever the picture might be. But then you get an 8.5 by 11 sheet, right? And the 8.5 by 11 sheet is just typed up, goes out to everybody, and it just gives you a recap of 2016 and the things that happened. I just received a later one, although it does have New Year's in it, from a cousin of mine, first cousin of mine, from back in the Tennessee area, I believe, and sent a nice picture and a letter that goes with it. And they were so excited about. And the announcement, the big announcement this year was their grandchild. This is our first grandchild. So you usually have something that you're highlighting. I've read others, they said, our daughter got married, or our husband got married, or our one son or one daughter moved to England, the one is in the service, or something like that. Did I say something? I did. Tell me later. You want to know what our lunches are like on Sunday? Cheryl telling me everything that I, That's wrong. She really doesn't do that. She's a good wife. But, so you read these sheets and it's just a normal thing to look at people's lives, and there's a series of changes that go on each and every year. I guess what should bother us is if there's no change happening. Because if there's no change happening, all kinds of things could set in. So I think there are some benefits of change that you cannot receive any other way if it weren't for the change. And I'm talking about your spiritual walk. I think there are some spiritual realities that you'll never understand about God and his relationship with you and his working and his faithfulness, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, without some change happening in your life. There's nothing like change that will bring you to your knees and to God, because it's at that time of turmoil and uncertainty that you're crying out to God. I'll leave that for a whole message on itself. But, so change. There are some changes that are happening now. The verse tells us that we're to enlarge the place of our habitation, and we're to let stretch out the curtains of the dwellings. Do not spare, lengthen the cords, and strengthen the stake. It's a picture of a tent. So the first thing you want to do, enlarge the place of your habitation. In other words, walk off a certain amount of area that you want to cover. We went through with Abraham. Lift up your eyes, look up, wherever the place where your feet will walk will be yours. Then you have to get a curtain that will fill that space that you have walked out. And then, of course, you need the cords that are going to tie down the curtains. But I think the most important thing of all of that is are the stakes that you put in the ground. Because you can have a large tent, stretched out cords, But if the stakes are only in the ground so many inches, when the winds of adversity or whatever there might be, common day occurrences, how you use the curtain, if they're not rooted in a strong stake, they're going to pull. And once one stake is pulled, it weakens another stake, et cetera, et cetera. So there's a simultaneous strength of the stakes if you're going to move forward. I believe this has been a year of us looking at, we want to expand the place of our habitation. We want to see Sunday morning services increased this coming year. We want to see this community reached. We want to see people getting connected. We want to see people involved more in missions, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. More in the Word of God, growing in Christ. Healthy families, we see all that. But we're going to have to strengthen the stakes in order for that to happen. So the moves that I believe are orchestrated by God are the kind of stakes that I think are going to help us move forward and accomplish what God wants us to move forward. So one of the key things that had to be determined is who would be the next senior pastor of Faith Bible Chapel. Now, 40 years ago, wasn't thinking of this. 30 years ago, wasn't thinking of this. 20 years ago, wasn't thinking of this. 10 years ago, started thinking about this. That just begins to happen. And I don't think you would expect anything less than your pastor to be thinking that way. It doesn't make sense not to think that way. Because, is that true? We're concerned about you, we're concerned about your children, we're concerned about your children's children, and this is a cross-generational church, which is a beautiful thing. So with the elders working hard with me and with an obvious an anointing that has fallen on a young man that just is blessing us over the last years, the elder board and myself have determined that the next senior pastor of Faith Bible Chapel is going to be Pastor Jason King. Yes, you should have been on your knees at that time when that was all happening. But that's part of the mentoring that'll come. I love Jason. I love Cheryl. I love their family. They feel so part of us in our conversations. But let me tell you how it's going to roll off, because we're going to tell you a couple times. We are determining, and as of now, we made the announcement that he's going to be our next senior pastor. As of now, though, for the next year into 2017, I will remain the senior pastor. For the purpose of directly mentoring, come alongside of, working with Jason. Now, you know, the pulpit is only one part of a ministry of a shepherd. There are so many areas that Jason is going to familiarize himself with. It's going to be a great joy working with them with that, introducing to the different ministries, how they work, how they don't work. So we're going to be mentoring very, very close together over the next 12 to 14 months. And then at that time, still, I need to make this very clear, Cheryl and I and our family still are not going anyplace. We're going to remain here. Jason will become this year the senior associate pastor. And then after that, he'll become the senior pastor. I will take on another role. I love to preach. And hopefully with Jason, I'm going to totally lead to his leadership. He will be the leader. He will be the pastor of the church. But Cheryl and I have continued giftings. We want to teach. I want to preach when I can. We're going to teach in the Bible college. We're going to be teaching in different classes. We're going to be teaching in Wednesday night services. We're going to be involved in Israel for the doors that are open in Israel. We want to be like the ambassador to Israel from Faith Bible Chapel. At the same time, bring Jason. Yeah, praise the Lord. These are all big things in and of themselves, and it's a lot different when you grow up with this growing around you than it is trying to thrust it on somebody. So we're going to be there just to offload him so he can do what's best, his gifting. His giftings will make room for him. So we're just going to have to see. So you have to know not all the answers are there. No one expects it. But at least we feel as though we're doing what God wants us to do to make sure. I want Jason to succeed. Amen? I want this church to succeed. And we're going to have to be intentional about it, work at it, and we're going to do it. So without me saying any more, I'm going to ask Pastor Jason to come on up, say a few words himself.
Love you, man. Bless you, man. Love you. Please take a seat. Love you too. I'll pay you later. That was good. Well, good morning, everyone. Quite the day today. You know, this is a wonderful day. It's an exciting day. It's a mixed bag of emotions day. And all of the emotions are okay. All of them are all right, because that is the journey of a family. And I just want to express my deep honor to step into this role, to be asked to step into this role by the elders who have led our church faithfully through the years. Many of these men are not seen. You don't maybe even know who they are, but these are men who intercede for you. They intercede for the future of this church. And we would not be here without these men leading us. And we should need to give them a hand today. And to be able to step up here after being introduced, such as Pastor George did, from one of my heroes in the faith, one of my mentors. In 2003, my wife and I came here from fresh out of Bible college. My wife actually grew up here and went off to college. That's where we met. But then we moved back here, and I was a young youth pastor who, luckily, I had the great privilege of being submitted under Cheryl Morrison, who kept me in line. That was very, very important. Thank you, Cheryl. She did keep me in line, let me tell you that. But I had the great honor of serving here and serving in our youth department and seeing God change the lives of our teenagers and seeing God transform the hearts of high schoolers. And then there was a transition into be the worship pastor. And I was in Stafford for 5 years, and then God began to speak to my heart. Some of you may or may not know the journey, but I chatted some things over with Pastor George and said, George, I really believe I need to step out and pursue some things in missions. And so we walked through it, we prayed through it, and he said, well, go get them. Go see what happens. And so my wife and I did, and we served faithfully, and we stepped into England. We began to serve there. But something very powerful happened in my life when I was in the UK. I had this great sense in my heart that, God, I want my life to count. I know that your hand is on me to change the world. And I don't say that out of arrogance. I say that because I know who I am. I know my shortcomings. I know me better than anyone. But I know a God who can take anything and use it for his glory and in the kingdom forever. That's what's good. And I remember crying out to God, use me however you want. I want my life to be wrung out on this earth for your sake and for the influence of your kingdom on the earth and around the world. That's what I want, God. I'm asking you to take me and do that with me. And God said, Jason, you want to change the world? I said, yes, God, I want to change the world. Jason, you want your life? Yes, I want my life to count. He said, you better get in a local church and you better lead one. And I knew it. That was my calling. So about 2.5 years ago, we were serving in a local church outside of London. And I had a strange dream one night. And in the dream, I was sitting across the desk from Pastor George. And Pastor George was smiling as no one on the planet has a smile like Pastor George, you know. It's the best in the world. And I was sitting across the desk from him, and he said, Jason, he said, God's done a lot in your life over the last 4 years. He said, will you come back and will you help us? And I woke up from the dream, and I thought, I think God's speaking. And I shared it with my wife, and I said, Cheryl, I think God's speaking to us, but we're just going to have to sort it out. You know, when you follow the Lord, you don't always know. A lot of times you know the next step, but you don't know the end result. And what we will be held accountable to is the next step and the next step and the next step. And so 3 days later, I had another dream. And I was sitting across the desk again from Pastor George, and the same question, Jason, will you come back and will you help us? And I woke up and I thought, man, we're going to have to do something about this. God's speaking to us. And so a few days later, I was praying about the dream. God, what are you saying? What are you speaking to us? And how do you want us to respond? And you know, I don't say this to create any drama, be super spiritual, but the Lord spoke to me as clear as a bell, and he said this. He said this, if Roger retires and they ask you to come back, will you take the position? Now, Pastor Roger Girard has been our missions pastor here for 25 years, I believe. And so I began to wrestle with it. I got home late from the church, and I was talking with my wife on the couch, and we were wrestling through this. You know what? I think so. Okay, if Roger retires, but we all know he's never going to retire. If he does, it must be a few years from now, we'll say yes to that. If they ask us, we'll say yes to that. So we went on, and we continued to get back into what God was calling us to do there. But the next day, I was standing in the kitchen, and I remember I was standing there, and I got an email on my phone. And the email was informing the whole missions community that Pastor Roger Girard was retiring. And my wife was cooking, and I didn't know what to say. I just went like this. And her mouth dropped, and we thought, okay, obviously God is saying something to us, and we're going to have to respond. We just can't act like that didn't happen. And so we began many conversations with Pastor George and Pastor Blake and Pastor Jeff, some of the other leaders, for us to come back on staff. And we came to the places that was God's will. So we came back on staff a couple years ago. And I want to just give you this journey just so you can have a better picture of where God has led us. And we came back to this church, and God began to do something incredibly deep in my heart that I cannot even explain to you. The first Sunday I was back, we came here, we left, and I walked out those doors, and I began to weep. And it was a different type of heart-wrenching call on my life. And I knew this was God. First of all, I wept because I couldn't believe how much you guys loved us and our family. You welcomed us back like we had never gone on the mission field. And we were back here, and you just loved us and ministered to us. And I thought, man, these people really love us. But secondly, I believe I was broken and weeping because God was depositing a responsibility for this ministry and for you and your families and the life of this church deep in my heart, and I couldn't ignore it. All I could do was embrace it. And I knew it was God was saying. And I was reminded when I was in the UK, and I said, God, use my life to change the world. And he said, lead a local church. And I never would have dreamt that it would be the greatest church in the world. But as you heard Pastor George share, this is not what we're talking about today. This is not a replacement plan for him and Cheryl. This is a continuation plan, a beginning of a continuation plan of an effective, continual ministry through all of us for the next 30 years, for the world around us, for the Jewish people, and for you as individuals, for your children, your children's children, your children's 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 children. That's what this is. That's what we're talking about today. And that's what the beauty of this is. Because what makes this church great is not a man. What makes this church great is not a group of elders that leads us. What makes this church great is you. You are what makes this church great. You are what God lays his hand on. This is the reason this church exists. This is the reason God put this church in the heart of a group of men 50 years ago, men and women who said, God, what do you want us to do? And they created Faith Bible Chapel International. He didn't do it for them. He did it for you. He did it for the families' lives that would be changed. He did it for the families and the grandparents and the children who were far away from God, but he would use this ministry to draw them back into a relationship with him and change their lives and change the world. That's why he made this ministry. And yes, there are a lot of questions. What's it going to look like? Lots of what ifs, but we are on a journey together. And let me assure you that over this year, as we walk closely with Pastor George and Cheryl, and as they impart into myself and help us lead here at the church, and the elders are standing with us, we are going to navigate what God wants for you. This isn't about a church becoming what the pastor is. This is about leadership becoming what the church needs. And you are the apple of God's eye. You are his bride. And don't worry, he will slap leaders around just a little bit if we get out of line towards you. Because you are what matters. God's plan for your life. He has a purpose for each of you, for your children. And our heart as leadership here is to see you fulfill God's call and his plan on your life. Yes, I'm not Pastor George. I told someone, I said, do I have to go bald? I had to do one elbow. That was it. I'm not Pastor George. And many people will say, you know, Jason, you're stepping into some big shoes. But the fact is this, they're not my shoes. My shoes are different. But I promise you this, they're made of the same material. And they were created by the same cobbler, by the same maker. And Cheryl and I are looking so forward to walking this year. And we are honored, deeply honored, that just not the elders, just not Pastor George and Cheryl, that God would entrust us to begin this journey to walk into this role. But also we are deeply honored that God would give us the opportunity to walk this year and many years to come with some of the greatest leaders on the planet. Pastor George and Cheryl, they are not just great people, they are generals in God's kingdom. And they will continue to be so in our midst. We are a unique church. As Pastor George said, we are a generational church. And I told Pastor George over coffee one day, I said, Pastor George, I believe if Joshua had what he, if he could have chosen things, and laid out what it would look like to walk into the promised land, I have a feeling he would have taken Moses with him. He would have walked with him into the promised land. And yes, even if the role would have changed, that Joshua became the leader of the children of Israel, he still would have wanted Moses by him, because we are a generational church. And we have the prayer chapel, we have Car Street, we have the students over here, we have children, we have families that are together. And listen, we need each other and the wisdom of the old and the zeal of the young to walk together to possess who God has called us to be. And we are deeply honored to be able to walk this together. You know what? These transitions in churches, they usually don't go very well, because egos get in the way and men get in the way. But we are committed to let God lead us, and we will get out of the way. And so it is my great honor to say thank you. Thank you for your love. Thank you for letting my wife and I be a part of this church over the many years we have been. And I look forward to the future. I love you all much. God bless you.
Good, bro. Good to see you, bro. Yeah. We're doing really well. So thank you. Just to clarify a couple things. First of all, obviously, Jason does not want to carry the same anointing. If he doesn't want to be bald, that's okay with him. But hair does not add to your anointing, right? I don't know whether you're saying that, but it does not add to your anointing. Okay, I'll leave that one. No. Okay, for clarity's sake, what we have developed is a fact sheet. So we have tried to comprise what we believe the questions that you might be asking, and then we put answers with them, okay? You can pick this up on the way out, and I'm sure you're going to have a question or two that maybe is not covered on the sheet. So now we have made provision, and that's going to come up on the screen right now. There's a special email has been created. It's come to me. It's PastorGeorge@fbci.org. We don't want the other emails to get lost or fall through the cracks or get spammed or things like that. So it's going to come there. You can voicemail by calling that number and pick that option. Then you can text your answers in that way. Okay? And let's see, any other way? You can go to the website, and you'll be able to pull down this entire message. Did I hear 2 o'clock this afternoon? 2 o'clock this afternoon. So you can actually pull down this announcement time at 2 o'clock this afternoon. We want to cover every base there is. So write down any questions you might have. For now, this is a year, 14 months early 2017. We're going to work close together, and we're going to be mentoring and working and sharing and going over things. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a good, fun time. I love doing that. And then from there, only God knows exactly what it is, but thank God for the elders, and they have said repeatedly, George and Cheryl, we're not expecting you to go anywhere, and that's really nice, but we want you to be involved. We're going to be involved, so whatever that's going to lead us to, we want to use our giftings and our talents. But we're going to be very clear now. And then there'll be an installation, okay? Sometime January, February next year, something like that. We're going to have a big old service celebration. We're going to have laying on of hands. There's going to be an installation. They're going to be moving forward. Just a real anointed time. And so that's all going to be happening now. Did I cover everything? I did. Would you stand, please?
We hope that this message has spoken something personal to you. If you would like more information about our church family or service times, please call us at 303-424-2121 or visit us at our website, www.fbci.org. Faith Bible Chapel currently meets in our Family Worship Center, located on the corner of 62nd Avenue and Ward Road.